I don't usually have masses in the middle of the day like this. It presents a, it's a beautiful thing. And I see many people here, which is a good sign. It means you also like to have a mass at this time. But it presents its own challenges because we've already started doing other things. And I'm a little, maybe you are too, distracted by what I've been doing since I had a time for prayer in the morning. But that's a good reminder to us. We get up in the morning, we pray, or at least make a morning offering, and then we go about our business. But the danger is we get sidetracked, distracted, maybe absorbed in something even not good. And then at noon, we stop and say, we belong to God. We renew our dedication to His will. And that's what we're doing here. In fact, this is the highlight of today because this is the Holy Mass. So if you pray the Angelus or the Regina Caeli during Easter, it's built on that principle that in the middle of the day, it's a good thing to at least stop for a moment. It might not be able to take a long time, but at least for a moment and get back on track. Well, here we are in the sixth week of Easter. This is Tuesday of the sixth week. And if you know the traditional pattern, the Easter season, the first 40 days up until Ascension Thursday is time to celebrate the resurrection. And then on Thursday, we celebrate the Ascension. So that makes today the 38th day. And we're getting close to the time when Jesus will be taken to the Father. And this is what he speaks about in this gospel. He says, I'm going to the one who sent me. And you're grieving because I'm going away. Now, this is a hard thing for us to grasp, that Jesus going away does not mean that he's leaving us behind. And the only way we can get what he's talking about is when we receive the Holy Spirit and we recognize that his way of being with us is in and through the Holy Spirit. So in between the Ascension, which will be Thursday, and Pentecost, which is the following Sunday, 10 days later, there's this time of experiencing what seems to us like a loss, but is in fact a time of hope for the coming of the Spirit. So that's why we pray to the Holy Spirit during that novena. In any case, here he says, it's better for you if I go, which is, again, hard for us to grasp at first. Why is it better? It seems like it would be better if he were to stay. It's better because we can receive the Holy Spirit. It's better because the gift that he came to give us by his dying and rising can actually be planted in us. That's through the advocate, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And he's spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks, if you're following the daily liturgy, talking about the Holy Spirit and what he does. He's the Spirit of truth. He will guide us into truth. He's the advocate. He will take our side. That term paraclete means something like a defense attorney or a counselor, someone who is powerful enough to help us overcome the challenges. If you think of in modern times, when rich people get in trouble with the law, they hire a great lawyer. And the best lawyers seem to be able to get people out of anything. Even though they're really guilty, they never get convicted. Now, we're guilty. And Jesus has died and risen in order to free us from sin. Well, how does that ability to go free, even though we're guilty, get applied to us? Well, through the Holy Spirit. He takes our part. And the accuser, meaning Satan, who wants to condemn us, wants us to be condemned, he can't overcome the Holy Spirit. So that's part of the background of what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about this advocate, this paraclete. Well, then he gets to this part, which I spent a long time thinking about earlier this morning, but every time I read it, it gets confusing again. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Okay, we got that. Sin because they do not believe in me. Righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I don't know if you're like me, but I say, what? What does that mean? Why is the Holy Spirit conducting us about sin because they do not believe in me? I don't get it. So we have to think about this just a moment. I hope I don't go too long. The Holy Spirit convicts the world about sin because they do not believe in me, meaning they don't believe in Jesus Christ. And this is what happens when we don't believe in Jesus Christ. And you can look at this in the world. People who do not have faith, they're wrong about sin. They don't understand sin. In fact, a lot of people think there's no such thing. People make mistakes. People have psychological problems. You know, there's disorders in the world. But they don't talk about sin. If we're not convicted of sin, if we're not moved to be repentant of sin, well, then we're trapped in sin. So the Holy Spirit is a necessity for us. They do not believe in me. So the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to believe and to live our faith. Secondly, about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. Well, you know what the world thinks about righteousness. If you have more money, or if you're better looking, or if you have more power or whatever advantage, then you're the righteous one. If you can impress people, you're righteous. Jesus did not look righteous all the time, especially when he was on the cross. The world is convicted about the truth of about righteousness because Jesus goes to the Father. The great confirmation of how righteousness is established in the world is Jesus' resurrection and ascension to the Father. There isn't any greater righteousness. And then the third one is about condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Well, this is the great reversal that Jesus won for us. He was condemned. He was condemned to death, and he was put to death, and he died and buried. He rose again and overturned the world's whole understanding of condemnation and Satan's understanding of condemnation. Remember, Satan thought he had the victory. I beat this guy. He's dead. Came back to life and said, no, I'm not dead. The ruler of this world has been condemned. So that's what the Holy Spirit plants all this wonderful truth and wisdom in our hearts. It doesn't mean, though, that because we have the power of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom and truth of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, it doesn't mean that now we can float through life, enjoying the good times. We still have to pass through the ups and downs in this valley of tears. And this is what we see happening in the first reading, in fact, throughout the Acts of the Apostles. But in this first reading, Paul and Silas, on their missionary journey, they're in Philippi at this time, in the Macedonia, which is in the European side of the world. They are attacked by a crowd, they're stripped, they're beaten with rods, they receive many blows, they're thrown into prison, they're put in the innermost cell, so maximum security is what we would call it, and their feet are secured to a stake. Now, these are the two who have the Holy Spirit. These are the ones who have faith. These are the ones who have righteousness. These are the ones who are not condemned. It doesn't look like it at this moment. They look like they're the guilty ones. They're the condemned ones. They're the ones who have no freedom. And that's what it looks like to us sometimes. I mean, I don't see anyone chained to a stake, but you know how it is. A life can be very heavy sometimes, and the obligations on us can really pin us down and crush us, or it seems. And circumstances, if they're not crushing us, we know people who are crushed by life. Just look at Ukraine, if you can't think of anybody else. People are really suffering. Look at China. The Christians in China. Well, what faith gives us, what the Holy Spirit gives us, is the ability to see past that appearance of being crushed and to know that there's a power greater than all that's coming against us. And Paul and Silas experience this. At midnight, they're praying. Now they've been beaten, they're chained to a stake, they have to be in pain, probably haven't been fed, they're probably weak. What are they doing? Complaining, weeping. They're singing hymns to God and praying. That's because they have the Holy Spirit. They're not living according to the dictates of their nature. Their nature was certainly crying out for some compensation, because that's human nature. It's not hard to guess how they felt. They weren't living on the level of their natural desires. They were living in the power of the Spirit. So what do you do when you're in prison and chained to a stake? You pray and you sing hymns to God. So when we're crushed, when we're opposed, when we're persecuted, when we're suffering, when we're in physical or emotional pain, pray. Pray to God. Sing hymns to God. Come to Mass. Go to the sacraments. Adore the Blessed Sacrament. Call on the Holy Spirit. Do something to get past the natural level. And that's what they do. And what happens? There's an earthquake. Now, that won't happen to all of us, literally. But spiritually, it does happen. And maybe you know this experience. You've been down, you've been beaten, you're alone, you pray to God, and whoa, an earthquake. Something changes, at least interiorly, and we can get up again and face our responsibilities or face the sorrows. We can endure, we can persevere. We can even invite others to join us on the path of faith. So, how can people who are beaten prisoners invite anyone to have faith? How can we who are sinners and who are suffering, how can we invite anybody to have faith? Well, an earthquake happens. God does it. And that's what happens. An earthquake, and all of a sudden, the prisoners are free and the jailer's the one who's in trouble. He thinks he has to kill himself. You see that reversal? I won't go into the whole thing because, but you know what happens to the jailer. Now he's asking for the way to be saved. He's looking for light. He asked for a light and rushed in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Beautiful, beautiful. The work of the Holy Spirit through the humble instruments, in this case, Paul and Silas, but in our day, us, the work of God through humble instruments so that other people can experience the light, can experience freedom, can experience the earthquake that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Well, that's what we're doing here. It's the middle of the day. We've got lots of things to think about, lots of things to do, perhaps. But the most important thing to do is to come to God, open our hearts to God, receive the power of God, so that the rest of this day will give glory to God, and also help other people. We're not here just for ourselves. May we be instruments for the good of others throughout the rest of this day.